I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me. I'm here to meet with you.
Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me.
As I wait, you make me strong as I want. Draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place? I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me. As I wait, you make me strong as I long. You draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place. As I wait, you make me strong as I long. You draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and fill this place. Won't you come and fill this place? I'm here to meet with you. Come and meet with me. I'm here to find you. Reveal yourself to me. As I wait, you make me strong as I long. You draw me to your arms as I stand and sing your praise. You come and fill this place. And you come, won't you come and fill this place?
Are we good? Maybe I ought to get rid of my phone. And now we'll read. Okay, the top on page one, it's the one with the red on the top. Are you ready to read it with me? Read it out loud. Read it together. Here we go. Then you will ask in my name. I'm not saying I will ask the Father on your behalf, for your Father himself loves you dearly, because you have loved me and believe that I am come from God. The part of that verse that I was wanting us to just embrace this morning, the Father himself loves you. I'd like you to let that sink in. The Father himself loves you. Up until this point, they were asking Jesus to represent them to the Father. And Jesus, this is near the end of his ministry, he's saying, the Father himself loves you. And I want you to see what he's saying in that verse. I'm not saying that I will ask the Father on your behalf, because the Father himself loves you. Okay, he's interested in you. Would you just say, Father loves me. He's got good taste. Now you can say those two things together. Father loves me. He's got good taste. Now that's the truth. The Father loves you. And I'd like you to let that sink in. Father loves you. The Father himself loves you. All right, then there's 3 points underneath that. Morning, Tim. Father loves you too. Even if you are late, you're still loved. Hang on to that. The 3 points. Your eternity is impacted as you believe in and believe and receive his love. Your eternity is impacted as you believe in and receive his love. The Father himself loves you, and your eternity is impacted as you believe in that love and receive that love. Eternity is impacted. Time is impacted. Eternity is impacted. As you believe in it, and as you receive. Second one. Read it together with me. Ready? Number two. The eternity of the people in your world is impacted by Father's love in you, through you, and apart from you. Now I just want you to catch the drift. Aren't you glad it's in you and through you and apart from you? God does impact the world with his love without you. It's not all dependent on you. But I want you to get this. Your world, the people in your world, are impacted by the Father's love that's working in you, the Father's love that's working through you, and completely aside from you. That's all good news, isn't it? Otherwise, it's totally dependent on you. And so, as you receive his love, the Father's love begins to impact your world in you, through you, and apart from you. Okay, now number three. Let's read it together. You participate with eternal changes when you participate in the Father's loving purposes. You begin to participate in something that impacts eternity when you allow the Father's love to be expressed in you, through you, and alongside of you. Eternity is impacted by the eternal love of the Father. Your eternity is impacted as you receive his love. As you begin to express his love, the eternity of others is impacted by the power of his love. Okay, last verse on that side. I ought to leave my glasses on, but then I can't see you. But here we go. 1 John 4:16. We have come to know and believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. Then it's flipped over to the other side, page 2. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. The one who does not love does not know God, for God is love. By this, the love of God has been manifested in us, that God sent his only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. As you recognize that God loves you and receive that love impacts your eternity. And as you live in that love, the impact reaches into your world. God is interested in impacting the eternity of the whole wide world. Number four, which is the last one of the... It's some instruction about loving. Love with a smile. I'm not interested in religious love. I don't think God is either. But I think that what God would like to do would be to put his love so alive in you that you can smile and the person feels loved. Man, what was that all about? Whew, I like that. And they don't know. And it's okay they don't know. I want you to, I'm really trying to get you to recognize that there's a place for God to operate silently, secretly, and there's a place when God begins to operate with very clear understanding and reference. I want you to recognize you begin in the secret place. When the person says, I don't know what that was, but I like that. Can you show me, where did that come from? How does that work? And so I'm wanting you to recognize, in number four, we love with a smile, with a pat on the back, with a thank you. Can you imagine? I want you to dare to believe this. I'm trying to get you to pay attention. When you were to go to the store and you buy something and the cashier's all done and you say, thank you. Is it possible that you can manifest the love of God with a mere thankful? Thank you. I want you to know that God is able to use a mere thank you, a small smile that reaches right through and touches the heart. If you've never had that happen to you, you got it coming. But I want you to know that God intends for his children to manifest the love with a smile, with a thank you, with a pat on the back. Love that reaches past the normal and touches the eternal. A couple other items that are listed there is an encouraging word. You can love with an encouraging word, with a whispered bless you, a release of love and peace into an area, just walking into the area. You don't have to say it out loud. Bless this place, Lord, in Jesus' name. You don't have to say anything. Have you ever walked into a place where the tension was so thick that you could cut it with a knife? Did somebody say something or did you just sense it? I want you to know greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if the devil can make the place tense and ugly, then God is big enough to make it lovely, peaceful, and I want to live here. What's going on here? I want this. Is he big enough to do that without you opening your trap? I think he is. There will come a time when you'll need to open your trap. When they come and say, what is it about you? Then you can begin to open your trap. Okay, wait a minute. Let's just finish this. Your area of influence, a prayer, a declaration of truth, both silently and with authority. Well, just look at this. I've been around long enough to know a few things. There will be people that will tell you, you got to say it out loud. May I give you a word that describes that statement? A single word, hogwash. You don't need to say it out loud. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And if you will just release it in Jesus' name, get this place. In Jesus' name, get a hold of him. God is big enough to pull it off. No, believe whatever you want, but that's the truth. And there will come a time, if you'll operate in the love of God, that people will begin to say, what is it about you that is so different? And then you will say, well, are you sure you really want to know? Are you sure? I don't almost know myself. But ever since God has touched my life with his love, things have been different in me, and things have been different flowing out of me. It's a different world. Because God has done something for me. Are you sure you really want to know? I could tell you more, but that's the beginning. You see what I'm saying? You build a foundation which starts in the heart of God, into your heart, and from your heart into the heart of those in your world. The last item is a prayer. It says this, Father. Well, yeah, let's all pray. Ready? Ready? Go. Here we go. Father, I believe that you are love, that you love me, and that you desire to love through me. Let that happen in my world today for your great glory. Let eternity be impacted through your love today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, I gave you this paper primarily to invite you to make that prayer a prayer of your heart every morning. Lord, love someone through me today. I believe that the Father himself loves me, and that the Father himself loves David with the curly locks and Al with gray beard. I believe, and Father, I want to express, I want to be an expresser of your love. I want to impact David's eternity by an expression of your love. And that doesn't mean I go and beat on his head with the Bible. It means I express the love of the Father. The Father himself loves David. The Father himself loves Al. And the Father is looking for hands and feet and mouths and smiles and pats to touch, carry his love into the lives of those around him. That's your assignment for this week, and you can do it or not. But if you want to impact eternity in your own life and in the lives of those in your world, say, Father, love through me. And I'm looking, you could even add to the prayer, I'm looking for an opportunity to love someone today, whether it be a smile or a pat on the back, a whispered prayer. I remember one time, this is longer than I expected, but I'll be real quick. A story by, his name went right out of my head, a California pastor in, but another one, older than he is, retired, my age, ancient, over the hill, Jack Hayford. Now, there's a man you can listen to once in a while, too. He says, I feel the heart of the Father for the little ones in my congregation. And he says, I just sense that Father loves them. And he said, I don't get all bolstery. He just said, Lord, bless them, Lord, in Jesus' name. Bless them. Good to see you. Dick, it's good to see you. You're just a little one. Bless you. And when I heard Jack Hayford say that, I thought, man, I wouldn't mind having Jack Hayford walk by me and say, bless him, Lord. He didn't have to say it out loud. He didn't have to shout it. I didn't even have to hear it. All I needed to know was that Jack Hayford said it inside himself. God heard it inside of himself. Amen. Something happens. Let's be those kind of people in the days ahead. By the way, I'm not Dayton Reynolds. I don't know what happened to him. He's coming, but so is Jesus. The question is, we don't know which one's going to be here first. Do you know something, Betsy? I think he still thinks church starts. He thinks what? Church starts at 10. Well, it's about to start, so get ready. Let's worship the Lord.
Amen. Amen. Let's sing about his unending love.
Father, I come to you, lifting up my hands. In the name of Jesus, by your grace I stand. Just because you love me, and I love your Son, I know your favor, unending love. I receive your favor, your unending love. Not because I've earned it, not for what I've done. Just because you love me, and I love your Son, I know your favor, unending love. Your unending love. as your glory fills this place, and I see how much you love me, as I look into your face, nothing could be better, there is nothing I would trade for your favor, unending love, your
It's his unending love that shifts us and changes us to make us capable of love. It's his love that we distribute. From the love of my own comfort,
from the fear of having nothing,
it's called I Shall Not Want.
From the life of worldly passions, deliver me, oh God.
I do verse one again.
From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, O God, from the need to be understood, from the need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely, deliver me, oh God, deliver me, oh God, and I shall not want, no, I shall not want, when I taste your I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want. From the fear of serving others, from the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility, deliver me, oh God, deliver me, oh God, and I shall not want, no, I shall not want, when I taste your I shall not want, no, I shall not want, no, I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want, when I taste your goodness, I shall not want, I shall not want. shall not want.
Back up to the first verse.
From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, Lord. From the need to be accepted, from the fear of being lonely, deliver me, oh God, deliver me, oh God, and I shall not want, no, I shall. Death or trial, from the fear of humility, deliver me, oh God, deliver me, oh God, and I shall not want, no, I shall. I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. I shall not want. I shall not
When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. Despite the difficulties, whatever it is that we go through, despite all of it, we shall not want.
The sun comes up, it's a new day dawning. It's time to sing your song again. Whatever may pass and whatever lies before me, let me be singing when the evening comes. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul, oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before, oh my soul. Worship Your holy name. You're rich in love and You're slow to anger. Your name name is great and your heart is kind. For all your goodness I will keep on singing. 10,000 reasons for my heart to find. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. See like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. And on that day when my strength is failing, the end draws near. And my time has come. Still my soul will sing your praise unending. 10,000 years and stand forevermore. Oh, bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh, my soul, worship His holy name. Sing like never. Holy name, sing like never before. Oh, my soul, worship your holy name. I will worship your holy name. Oh, worship your holy
our God, and all see our To me, I'm all you need.
Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father. There is no shadow of turning with thee. Thou changest not, thy compassions they fail not. As thou hast been, thou forever will be. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Summer and winter and springtime and harvest, sun, moon, and stars in their courses above, join with all nature in manifold witness to thy great faithfulness, mercy, and love. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Pardon for sin and a peace that endureth, thine own dear presence to cheer and to guide, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Blessings all mine and 10,000 beside. Great is thy faithfulness, great is thy faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. All I have needed, thy hand hath provided. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me. Great is thy faithfulness, Lord, unto me.
sound of his voice is so sweet, the birds hush their singing, and the melody that he gave to me within my heart is ringing. And he walks with me, and he talks with me, and he tells me I am his own, and the joy we share as we tarry with my soul. thrown into the midst of the sea. Through it all, my eyes are on you. Through it all, it is well. Through it all, my eyes are on you. It is well with me.
Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that you will abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
I just found out why I'm here. I just found out why I'm here this morning. So, you know, I came, I have a message, gave Dan, I've got some scriptures in my pocket, and I may share those after a bit. But I found out, just sitting there, why I'm here. And I don't want to be presumptuous. And I hope you all know me well enough to know I'm not just on some kind of an ego trip. But I'm telling you today, the old man's come. I said the old man's here. And the old man is angry. In the right way. Some of you are my kids. I know the history of this place. I was pastor at New Covenant for 18 and a half years. And this place came out of that ministry. And so some of you have called me your father. I am. And the devil's been bothering my kids. That upsets me. Some of you, the enemy has been bothering personally, giving you a hard time. The enemy's giving this church a hard time. And I say, it's enough. The old man's here. And the old man's going to clean house right now. You ever have your mother say to you, wait till the old man gets home? Well, I'm telling you, the old man's home. And I declare to principalities and powers, I declare to every spirit that's bothered my kids, go! I declare victory. Yes. I declare release. Sweep across this church. I know there's more than one church here today. Sweep across this church. Sweep across this area with the victorious power of the Holy Spirit, setting people free, and set this church free. from oppressive demonic powers that would come to kill and destroy. Those of you who are visiting today, you can take this too. But I just felt like sitting there today, it's like Papa's come home. There's some things need to be straightened out in the spiritual realm. Whatever else I might have to say later, I just found out that's why I'm here today. To exercise whatever spiritual authority that I have in this place to bring victory, release, and the forward move of God. Amen. In this place.
Hallelujah.
And so, Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, come. Lord, come and minister to your good people here. In Jesus' name, amen. Now you can do whatever you want. Go ahead with the sermon.
I'd like to have George and the elders to come. Vic, would you come? And I'd like us to receive this word. Tim, I'd like you to come. Some good could be done for you, too.
No more lies. No more deceit. No more deception.
That's right. No more robbery.
Truth. Clarity. In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus, we receive this.
All right, so Father, we as a group here, representing a variety of churches, and representing the people of God here, we understand and receive these words. We understand that, yes, we have been beat up and resisted, but we understand and we declare, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world.
Amen.
And he has been released in this place and among these people. He has been released, and he will overcome. He will bring us into victory.
And in the name of Jesus, guys, I'd like us to face the congregation, and I'd like us to take a step. We step into, right now, go ahead, ready? Step right into that victory. We declare that we accept this as our opportune time to step into that which God has provided. We step into the victory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Thank God.
I'd like for you folks that would like to stand and step into the victory as well. This is not just us. And I'd like us to in the spirit, take a hold of the hand of somebody who's not here. And you understand, this is reality. This is more real than the things you can see with your physical eyes or touch with your physical hands. We step into victory. And I'd like us to step together along with others. They aren't here, but they're going to step with us in Jesus' name. And so get your right foot up. Get ready to go. In the name of Jesus, we step into the blessing that you have for us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. And we agree that not only we, but those that stand with you, will walk with you, and you will accomplish great things in this area, in the Church of Jesus Christ in this area. Yes. Great things will be accomplished in Jesus' name. And all the people said,
amen.
All right, amen. There was a time, 100 years ago, when there was an elder in our church. He's since gone to visit with the Lord. I think we'll see him one day. But he used to lead us in a shout of praise, and he would go like this: 1, 2, 3, and then he'd go, glory, hallelujah. That was his charge.
Yeah.
And I'd like us to do his charge this morning. His name was Paul Larkin. Some of you remember old Paul.
Yeah.
He was as old as I am, but but he was old a lot sooner than I was, and And so I'm going to do the Paul charge. You know, I'm going to do the 1, 2, 3, and then we'll do a threefold glory. Hallelujah. You ready? Here we go.
Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah! Glory! Hallelujah!
Amen. You may be seated again. Yay, God. Earlier, the girls were coming to Jocelyn. Don't go away. Jocelyn was just sharing with us, and Kathy. Kathy was sharing with us the call of God, the arm of God reaching out to embrace us. And Kathy sensed a sort of a universal arm of God drawing his people together. Yeah. And that was a thing that Kathy sensed earlier. And Jocelyn caught the drift of that and felt, and I verified Jocelyn's thing. There's a need for each of us individually to get the embrace individually in order for the corporate to work. Do you understand? We can be embraced corporately because we're individually embraced. And that's where we started early this morning, was to recognize the Father himself loves you. Mm-hmm. And the embracing is the thing that the Father does individually and corporately. Justin, would you come and share the rest of what you had to share? This is, for those of you that don't know, this is Jocelyn Zimmerman. She's all screwed up, but we love her anyways.
It's okay, we are.
So when Kathy was talking, she said that she saw God like embracing everybody and bringing them in as a group, but also each individual person was getting a hug. And there was a prayer time, there was several things that were said, and the thing that kept coming back to me was that God had said to me quite a while ago, the most important thing to do with your life ever, there's one thing that is so crucially important, and I think God would say this is the most important thing that he has ever done for you, is for you to practice receiving the love of God. That's the only thing that's important. Everything else comes out of it. And so when George was talking about when we were reading from that piece of paper, I kept hearing it again and again. The most important thing that you ever will do with your life, everything, a smile that gives love to somebody, the reason why it's there, the reason why they can feel it, is because you've practiced receiving the love of God.
So we're going to practice receiving the love of God this morning. Don't go away. I'd like us to do that. The Father himself loves you. That's an important part of a verse of scripture. The Father himself. And do you know what Jesus was saying? I just remind you. He would say, I used to pray for you, and you asked me, and I'd pray for you. But I want you to know the Father himself loves you. The Father himself loves you. So go to the Father. Go to the Father. And let me tell you that all of the law is fulfilled with the love of God. The tendency to look elsewhere, if we have received the love of God, we would not want to look anywhere else. I mean, there's why would you go anywhere else? Because the love of God is so fulfilling. And so this morning, we're just going to take a break here and say, Father, we open our hearts to receive your love. We want to receive your love. It's not a question, please give it. That's not even an issue. We want to open our hearts to receive your love. And so I'm going to ask Jocelyn to pray for us, and we'll pray ourselves. Would you stand and just open your hearts to receive the love of the Father? Jesus said, the Father himself loves you. And so, Father, this morning we brush aside the unbelief and we open our hearts to receive your love. God, you are love. And this morning we open our hearts to receive your love. Forgive us for being resistant. Today we open our hearts to receive your love.
Lord, you want us to be excellent receivers. And so, Lord, I ask that you would teach us, help us to practice, prick our hearts so that we remember to practice. Lord, bring us to a place where everybody that comes in contact with us knows that we have received your love, whether they understand it or not. They just know it, that our love affair with you would grow so big and overtake us. You know, Lord, there's the scripture that says, be careful about awakening love. We want to be awakened to your love. We want to practice it. We want to be excellent receivers. We want to more than excel. Help us to get there, Lord. Help us to get there. Open our hearts. Make them bigger. Help us to take the time. Help us to always long for it. Put a longing in our hearts to just do that all the time. Bring us to that place, Lord. Make us the way that you wanted us always to be. In Jesus' name.
Amen. And all the people said, amen. Amen. Be seated and be receiving in Jesus' name. I would again encourage you to make this week a week of receiving. From the time you wake up until the time you cash in at night, say, I am here to receive your love and release your love into my world. You do that? Carry that piece of paper with you and read it and let it work in your heart. This morning we're blessed to have Daniel, and he came full of words, which he's going to keep in his pocket. And we got Daniel Reynolds. I can remember when he was, you know, this tall. He was a real nuisance. And he's no longer a nuisance. He's a man to be contended with, so I'm going to be nice to him. And he's also their chauffeur on this trip. And they're what? Yeah. Landlord. He's taking care of the old folks, and you know, that's good too. You know, the Bible says something about that. You know, that you'll live long in the earth if you do it right. Now, let me counsel you: do it right. All right. Beside him is Ann Reynolds, and she's full of the good stuff of God too. Do you want to say anything? She said no. So what does that mean? Okay. And then we have Dayton here this morning, a father to many of us, and a father in the faith. I can remember 100 years ago, almost 100, because, you know, when we're as old as we are, we can say almost 100, because almost 100 isn't far away. And I can remember when they came, and the first summer that they were with us in Penfield. Do you remember that summer? We'd have picnics every Sunday, and we'd go hang out together and just yakety-yak and swim in pool and, you know, real spiritual stuff, like just loving one another. And
the chicken you used to make.
Yeah, is that why you came back? He came back to try out my food. Okay. Just the chicken. So Dayton is here this morning, and may the Lord bless you as you share with us what the Lord has given you. For
Dan, would you read the scripture? Tell them where it's from. And you need it. It's in my...
Everybody needs something.
You haven't told him what they are.
I haven't told him what they are.
He doesn't have
that. Yeah, they're printed out because there's more than one here.
George, where's the mic? I guess you'll use this then.
Oh, okay. It's ready. This is from Matthew 10. The Lord said to his disciples, "Everyone who acknowledges me before men, I also will acknowledge before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, I also will deny him before my Father who is in heaven. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me." Then Peter said in reply, "Lo, we have left everything and followed you. What then shall we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly I say to you, in the new world, when the Son of Man shall sit on his glorious throne, You who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses, or brothers, or sisters, or father, or mother, or children, or lands, for my name's sake, will receive a hundredfold and inherit eternal life. But many that are first will be last, and the last first.
I hope I didn't scare any of your kids, Waco. Because as I sat there, and I knew a little bit of the rough time that some of the folks have been going through here, I just felt like I had to do that. And sometimes maybe I was yell a little louder than I need to, but I just felt like some authority needed to be exercised here, and so I hope I didn't scare your kids. If I did, just tell me, that old man. I want to tell you, I can recommend George and Betsy's Bread and Breakfast. It's good, but I had a problem this morning. you know how men tend to drool? And sometimes when they're drinking something, it kind of dribbles around. I was wondering if I was having that problem this morning at breakfast. Because no matter what I did, I was getting coffee. I had to change my undershirt this morning and everything. I just getting coffee dribbling on me. And I was like, am I doing this? I mean, Betsy served me a cracked cup. And even Ann thought the old man was dribbling or something. So, Betsy, didn't I see you throw that cup away? Good. It was a beautiful cup, and you couldn't see the crack, honey, but here I was dribbling. So, anyway, it is a real privilege to be here with you folks today, and these words that Jesus gave us are some of the most difficult words to apply to us today. And in other places, he even uses the words hate father, mother, and all that. Now, we know Jesus doesn't want us to hate, but what he is trying to do is contrast here our perspective. And what I want us to refresh, and I realize in some ways I'm speaking to the choir, but I think it's rather important that we realize again who we are, and that we have a clarity about us and a focus, a vision about who we are and what we are about. Now, what I'm saying here is not true of everybody. And it's not true of all society. And I was rather shocked when we moved to Texas. And I was speaking to somebody at a doctor's office or on the phone with some professional office. And they said, well, praise the Lord. I came from California here. So not everybody is affected this way. But especially among the younger generation. The much of the nation, and especially younger folks, and I'm not just talking like an old man who thinks everything was better years ago. I'm not talking about that at all. Everything, I mean, we had terrible problems when I was growing up. But there was one thing that was pretty well universally known, and that there were some absolutes. There are things that are real and things that are not real. There are things that are true and there are things that are not true. There was a foundation however poor it was, of Christian, Judeo-Christian underpinnings of society, of the American society. Now, I mentioned the other night about the great division of our Civil War. And it was awful. Some people are still kind of fighting that old war. I had somebody in Texas. You know, Texas was a part of the old South. I had some old lady in Texas. When I told her I used to live in New York up here and how many years I lived here, she said, "How could you stand living among those Yankees so long?" Well, I tried to say, "Well, there's some good people." But she meant it. How could you stand living among those Yankees so long? But even back, for the most part, in the horrible divisions, and I had at least three great-grandpappies who were Union soldiers in the Civil War. And so our family was very involved. But even in that great conflict, though there was great injustice and great and terrible wrongs, there was still yet, even on both sides of that war, some kind of Christian underpinnings to their society. So that after the war, imperfectly as we've done it, we kind of all came together and made sort of a new nation. Very imperfectly. But there was that underpinning of what is right and what is wrong. And of course, one of the big things in the Civil War was there was a group of people who just said, enslaving other people against their will is wrong. That's wrong. And so we had to end up with a war. But that is very much leaving our society. And if you don't think that's true, you all live here in a fairly stable area. But if you don't think that is true, just tap in to what's going on other places. And now I'm talking about on an academic level, even the college level. Old-time liberals, you know, the old-time liberals that had some sense, they're despised by a lot of young people because they're still talking about absolutes. And there is a great movement among young people in our age that says there to say that there's absolutes is, and there's right and there's wrong and there's this and there's that, that's really bad. That's terrible. And so the underpinnings, the Christian underpinnings of our society are being eroded. Now, I'd like to give you this perspective about that. In some sense, these young people and older people, there are older people in all this too, are not to be hated. They're a product of our society, our academic, educational society. They're a product of the media and such. And so there is great deception in this world today. Great, great deception. Great deception. And so instead of hating these people, they need to be loved and they need to be taught. And they need Jesus. And so what does that all have to do with this scripture today? We need to be clear about who we are. We need to be clear about who we are. Now, what I'm talking about is not hard-headedness. There are some people that get so set in their ways, and that's not just true of old people like me, but of a lot of other people. They get so set in their ways, and they think they know it all. that they won't listen to anybody, and they won't change. And I'm not talking about that. What I'm talking about this morning is a settled sense of who you are, who we are. And that has to do with the scripture today. Jesus is trying to get his disciples' perspective straight, who they are. And so he is saying, if you love anything, and there should have been no closer relationship than mama and papa in a child's life. But he says, if mama and papa are more important to you, or brother or sister, or husband, wife, anybody, is more important to you than I am, you're off. And this all fits in with this whole idea of the cross. The cross is not your arthritis. Your cross is not your arthritis. Your cross is not your allergies. What is a cross? What was it? What was it used for? It was used for killing people. It was used for killing people. It was an instrument of horrible death. And so when Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me, he's not talking about putting up with your arthritis. But he is talking about the death, the surrender of you. One of the greatest gifts that God gave us that can become a curse for us. God gave us a will. W-I-L-L. God gave us a will. I happen to be a strong believer in free will. God did not make robots. He does not want the service. He did not make robots. He made people. And he gave us a great gift. The gift of choice. The gift of choice. But that gift was to be given back to him. So that, you know, from the very beginning, man exercised that will against God. That's what the whole Garden of Eden story is about. God created a beautiful and things good and all of that. But Eve, and then following her, Adam, thought that God was not good as he was pretending to be. Because there was something he was withholding from them. And that was good. There was something being withheld from Adam and Eve. But you see, this was a test of what? A will. Are we going to believe that God is good? That God loves us? Or the devil says, God knows that you, the moment you eat of this, you'll be like him. Knowing what? Good and evil. I want to point out something to you. What all had they known up until this time? Only what? Good. Only good. I just assumed that they'd not learned about evil, wouldn't you? But evil comes as our will is pitted against God's will. as our will is pitted against God's will. And our will functions best when it is moving in His will. Now, when we're Christians, God doesn't take away our free will. But it operates best as we operate within His will. So, here's what I want to get at today. The world today needs to meet up with people who know what they're about. Okay, a lot of people in our society today don't a bit more know what life is about than a pig knows about Sunday. They don't know. All they know is live. But what is life all about? Is there any meaning? Is there any meaning to life? Is it going anyplace? Is there any foundation to life? Does it have purpose and meaning? Are there truly things that are absolute? Does 2 + 2 really equal 4? Are there things that are really true and absolute in this world? And society today is saying basically no. But that's not satisfying to people. And so what are they doing? They're making up their own way and their own religions. I heard Jack Hayford, you already know who Jack Hayford is, still alive. Had the privilege of getting to know him a little bit, and I did. He was at a big meeting once in Cincinnati that Ann and I were attending of leaders from across denominations and such, and he was saying something that we see in today's world. He said the Holy Spirit was in a sense that He was moving and creating that there would be a void in the world and in people's lives. And He said, something will fill that void. And we see that happening today. There is this emptiness. There is this void in people's lives. There's no foundation. And so people are inventing false foundations. You know, there's a big growth in spiritualism. You know what that is? The seances, the whole a big growth in spiritualism. Sometimes when I see people, I'm on Facebook largely for you folks. I mean, I like to find out if you're behaving yourself, you know, and all that stuff. It's really given me a chance to connect. But you see some people that you know, and I don't mean any of you, but that you know are kind of off the wall, and yet they're talking about prayer, and they're talking about spiritual things, and where are they coming from? They're not following the Christianity or the Christ that is real. And such, they've kind of amalgamated, you know, like homogenized milk. It's kind of all, everything's all gooped together, mixed together. And that's where society is at. The foundations are being eroded and undermined. In West Virginia, one important thing when you buy a house is, And I saw that we bought a house in Clarksburg, West Virginia, not undermined. Because some people's houses start sinking. Because they've been, what? Undermined. There's a mine down there somewhere. And so the whole fabric and foundation of our society, and it's purposeful. And one of the things I want to point out to you, what was the thing that the enemy hit hardest and is still hitting hard. The whole created order of mankind, sexuality and the family. Sexuality and the family, those are the building blocks of humanity. Our sexuality, and out of that comes the very fabric and building block of society. And what is that? The family. The family is the basic unit of society. And what has, especially for the last 100 years or so, what has the enemy hit so hard? Sexuality and what? The family, husband, wife, gender. There's at least 5 genders now. Did you all know that? At least 5. They'll come up with another one maybe one of these days. Yeah, they're multiplying, genders are multiplying. You know, when I was a kid, we only had 2. But sexuality, and sexuality is good, isn't it? Male, female, sexuality, which out of which comes family, the building block of society. That, in our day, and much of society is almost gone. Marriage is becoming an obsolete institution. It really is. People getting married, why bother? There's all that legal entanglement stuff. Why bother? And so when I was a kid, people shacking up. I mean, a lot of people did it, but even most of them knew they shouldn't. But that's just the common way now. Just the common way now. Marriage has been so eroded that it's old-fashioned. I've been married to Ann for about 56 years, and I guess we're kind of old-fashioned, aren't we? But what I want to say to you is this. Be sure that your will is submitted and in line and in keeping with God's will. And even for Christians, this can be so subtle of getting your will out of line. And it has to do a lot with what I like and what I want. I got a little news for you. God isn't always about, in the immediate circumstances, pleasing you and doing what you want and what you like. Now, in the long run, as Jesus says in the scriptures, it's all going to work out for what? Victory and good and reigning and power and all of that. But to get your will really submitted to the will of God so that you, without being hard-headed, stubborn, and stupid, so that you can give a clear message, a clear word, not just by what you say, but by who you are. Not just by what you say, but by who you are. That there are still some people in the world who know about God, who know about absolutes, who know about right and wrong, and what is real and what is not real, what is a lie and what is the truth. I mean, we talk about fake news and all that stuff in the world today. It is even hard to know, even in the news, who to believe, isn't it? It's hard to know. But there need to be some people. And this is where I'm thanking God for the St. Constantine School, because that's a place where at least we're trying, and they're trying to be people of truth. So some people want John dead, as I said the other night. So the world needs to see some people who know who they are, like old Henry Jacobs used to get up and sing. We sang his song the other night. And I'm not saying this, I mean, this, he was an African-American and from the South, and so this is the way he talked. He would get up every night, or every time we had a testimony, and he said, I know who I is. That's what I'm talking about. We need to know who he is and what we're about. I know who I am. I know who I am. I know whom I serve. And I know what truth is and what a lie is. And I'm telling you, there are people who will be attracted by that. There are people who are confused. And we must not be too hard on them. Everything, nearly, not everything, but nearly everything in our society is beating lies and confusion at them. So why wouldn't they be confused? But God is raising up a people, and that's what he wants of his church. And says he is raising up a people whose will is in line with God's will, who know who they are. They know what truth is. Basically, all of us get a little off sometimes, even me. Believe it or not, I mean. But who know what truth is and who can recognize lies. Just be. You may not open your mouth much, but just be. Be to your family and be at work. And be in society. So that's a little message that I wanted to share with you. And I know that in some ways I'm talking to people who are Christians and all like that. But even as Christians, we need clarity. We need to know our foundations. We need to be and not be ashamed of it. You know, Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. The enemy would have us be ashamed of who we are. I am a Christian. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived of the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, and all the rest of it. I believe that stuff. And that's the foundation and our relationship with that God of our life. And so, line up with God and be, just be a man or woman of God. And when you blow up and you mess up, as we heard this morning, God still loves you and he's in the restoration business, and get on with your life and don't live in the past. But be. So that's what I got to say.
All right, Whew. Don't sit down yet, sir. I'd like to have Dayton pray for us that we would be what God calls us to be, each of us individually. And now, if you want to be a part of being who you're called to be, you could stand up and maybe God would notice you.
Yeah. And listen, that's what... I'm telling you, that's what God wants covenant life to be, and your church to be. That's what God wants covenant life to be. And could it be that that's why you're getting beat up? Because there's somebody who doesn't want you to be? But you're going to be! And so, Lord, we release your Holy Spirit upon this congregation, that clarity will come, settledness will come, peace will come as to who they are and who this church is. In him we live and what? Move and have our be. What's that word? Being. In him we live and move and have our being. And so, Lord, come with your Spirit to bring clarity and help this people to be Lord, help this people to become Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come up on George and both Georges and the leadership here and this congregation. Help them to shake off all the junk. Help them to shake off all the junk and be men and women of God. And all the people said, amen. Amen.
God bless you. Go and be.